Maryland's basketball season is over, at least the men. They lose to Florida, the one seed in the West, 87-71. Gene Wong was there covering it for the Washington Post, and he joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Gene, thank you as always for joining us throughout the season. We appreciate your time. So we are of the opinion that this team looked a little off last night, like, maybe you could read into it. They're a little distracted by the fact that their coach had nine toes out the door. What about you? You were there. Did they seem a little off to you?
They did, but I think Florida gets a lot of credit for that. Florida is so good. They can beat you in so many ways. They're so athletic. They're long. They can get you inside, outside. They're just a filthy offensive rebounding team. They score more points than anyone else in the country off offensive rebounds. That's really how they beat Maryland and their bench, too. Yeah, I mean, I think Maryland was just overmatched because this is what we thought going into a game like this, that they would have to play almost a perfect game and their Crab Five would have to have career games, basically. Derek Queen held up his end, but, you know, Selton Miguel was 0 for 7, and that really hurt them. So I give Florida most of the credit for making Maryland not look as good as they have been lately.
You and I have been at this a long time, and not much, I think, really surprises or shocks us anymore. And you develop a BS detector, and we know that this is big-time college athletics, which has been truly professional for a long time, and now they're not even hiding it anymore. But is there still a part of you that's dumbfounded that this went down the way it did? That Willard got this, right? Like, he created this snowball, got it rolling in a way he didn't have to, then tried to step out of the way and say, no, I'm not talking about it. Like, I just feel like this could have been handled infinitely better for all involved. And even if the end result was the same, it didn't have to be this messy.
Yeah, no, Jason, you are 100% right, I think, on that. I've been in this business for 30-plus years. I just can't recall a situation like this ever arising where the coach says the AD's leaving probably, so he's not going to sign, but he wants all this extra stuff coming to him. And then when the AD does leave, he still's not committing because he says, well, I don't know who my boss is going to be. And then he airs a list of grievances like right before the start of the NCAA tournament. And then there's more of this going into the biggest game in 10 years. And it becomes so much more about what's happening on the court. It's like what's going on away from the court. And there are a lot of distractions. And I will tell you, I have to give the players a lot of credit for making it this far with all the stuff swirling around the program. It's pretty amazing. The team that's only two players that have been in an NCAA tournament game before to go to the Sweet 16. But yes, the way it's been handled on so many levels, there's so many people that are culpable in this. And we asked Kevin at the news conference yesterday, do you wish you'd handle this differently? And he said, absolutely not. Now, maybe inside
he that
way, but you know, he's not going to give that public perception of that for sure.
Gene, how quickly does this move? Is he announced the next coach of Villanova over the weekend? Where does Maryland go next with the head coaching vacancy? How quickly does this move?
Buyouts, April 1st. Does that play a
role? Buyouts,
I mean, it seems like it's probably not a great move if they wait a few days. I mean, they need to put feelers out there to see who might be interested in the job. Now, I don't know this based on people I've talked to, if they're the search firm that's been retained. The people I've talked to within the program say that it's not happened yet. Now, this was as of late last night. It could have happened after they got on the plane. They're on a plane back to D.C., or excuse me, College Park right now, with no Wi-Fi, I'm told, conveniently. So there's no way of getting in touch with anyone that's close to the program that's on that charter flight. But you have to assume that at least they made some overtures. Now, the names we've heard, and I'm sure you've heard them too, Dwayne Simpkins, a former Terp at AU, Tony Skin at George Mason, Buzz Williams' name has even been, you know, mentioned. A name I've not heard, but I think would be a great fit in Maryland, Mike Bray, an assistant at for the Hawks. He's been around the college game forever. And when he left Notre Dame, he didn't say he was retiring. He said, I'm taking a break and stepping away. He's a DeMatha guy, coached under Morgan Wooten, has that DMV connection with the WCAC, which Maryland really wants. They want to keep Maryland players, homegrown guys there. So I'm not saying that they've even reached out to Mike Bray. I'm just saying it seems like to me that they should, if they were thinking about having a guy that to me is like a perfect fit for that program.
Talking to Gene Wong, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. So, Gene, obviously Derek's gone. Juju's a senior. He's gone. Selton's gone. In your mind, are Rodney Rice and Jacoby Gillespie gone as well?
Well, it's going to be a massive rebuild, obviously. There's so much uncertainty surrounding this program, which is where I wrote, not just the basketball program, but the athletic department in general. They need a new AD. They're probably going to need a new basketball coach. Like you said, you mentioned all those players gone. Although Derek Queen did say yesterday when I asked him, he's not sure, but like you can basically say he's going to leave for the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Jacoby Gillespie, maybe look at Tennessee from what I've heard. That's, you know, he's from Greenville, Tennessee. We know what kind of program Rick Barnes runs. He'd be going home. Rodney Rice is from Clinton, Maryland. You know, he went to the Mapa. So, and he wanted to come back and come home and play for Maryland. I mean, I'm sure he's going to keep his options open, but I don't think right now he's saying, yeah, I'm definitely gone. So, but regardless of what happens, the roster is going to be completely overhauled as it stands from this season.
How screwy is this not to have an AD in place at the same time, and the school president is tweeting about Kermit the Frog?
That was good.
Not what's going on here. And our very own Ken Wyman, and if you choose to amplify his reporting, you could also refer to him as the Ginger Gorilla.
Yes.
He's reporting that Gary Williams is open to being an interim AD. So I'm throwing all that at you, Gene. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, well, look, I saw Gary Williams at John Feinstein's memorial service the other day, and that topic did not come up, although a lot of other topics did come up, to be honest, off the record.
Sure.
So, but, you know, it is so chaotic in the athletic department. Like, you talk to one person who says one thing, you talk to another person who says another thing, and they all have connections, or they're connected, at least in theory, to Colleen, who's now the interim athletic director. So, yeah, I mean, I've heard a dozen different theories of what might happen. I don't know if the priority is to get the athletic director in place and then maybe see what happens with the basketball coach, or do they want to go after a basketball coach first and then do the athletic director later? Like, it's such a jumble right now. There may be some more clarity after the team lands, and like maybe tomorrow or the next day. But I mean, right now I'm just almost as much as in the dark as anyone, and I'm around this team a lot, and I've talked to the players. They're not even sure what's going on. So that's a big reason why Jacoby and Rodney are waiting to make a decision to see if they're going to stay or not, because they don't know what's going on.
Are we sure that Willard's on that plane? I mean, maybe at this point we shouldn't even care, but like, are we sure he even flew back with him?
Yes. I'm told that he boarded the bus. Now, whether he got on the plane, I'm assuming that he got on the charter when he got to the airport, but he boarded the bus with the team. And we saw what happened when they were leaving for the game yesterday. There were some boos from the crowds and some from the boosters. And Kevin was asked about that. It's like, you know, what matters to me is what my boss is saying. Yeah. And so, you know, that's a standard coach speak, you know. Sure, of course he heard it, and he knows. Like, and that's a thing when you connect the dots and say, you know, why would you come back to the situation? We've already made it pretty bad. The fans don't want you back. The boosters don't want you back. There's uncertainty in the athletic department. You have a standing offer basically from Villanova where you're going to be the number one show because the football program is FCS. Yep. You're not competing with a football program for NIL dollars. And you're going back to the Big East, a conference from which you're very familiar. Yeah, certainly. But again, Jason, you said this earlier. We've both been around this business for a long time, and nothing should surprise you. So if on Sunday he says, guess what, I'm staying in College Park, well, you know what? I'm going to say, you know, just another thing that you add to the list of unexpected events covering sports for 30 years.
Well, let's say that doesn't happen. The most frustrating thing for me is this program was building so much momentum at the end of the year where you had the back-to-back sellouts. The fan base was bought all the way back in. You made it to the second weekend for the first time in 9 years, and now you have all the uncertainty of the roster building, the head coach, and the AD, and we're almost a full week into the portal being open. Is this program destined for a rebuild season next year?
Well, I just think that's the way it is in college athletics, or major college athletics, wherever you are. It doesn't matter. I'm not talking about just in College Park, but almost everywhere. Like, there may be a few programs that are insulated, like Ohio State, you know, or maybe Michigan, but because they have so many dollars, and Texas, whatever. There may be, but in general, even at the power conference schools, like, this is the way life is. I mean, it's a Wild West. There are no rules. And Kevin said that, and I agree with him on this point. It's like, there's no rules. Like, Benson Blake got everything wrong, and everyone's just fending for themselves. And so in this case, Kevin Willard is too. I don't blame him for that. It could have been handled better, yes. But that's just what we have to come to understand. It's going to happen almost every year at program, because you're not building for 4 years anymore with a freshman who's going to be senior and have that, you know. That's why Tony Bennett left Virginia. That he didn't. That's how he used to build programs. That's not happening anymore. It's a year-to-year deal. And so coaches are going to be jumping around just like players are, and just we have to accept that.
Gene Wong covers the Terps for the Washington Post. Gene, always great.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, man. I'm sure we'll be talking soon because this story continues.
Buzz.
We'll talk soon. Okay, take care.
Thanks so much. Hey, coming up next here on the program, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
A lot of controversy surrounding the Maryland men's basketball program. There's nothing controversial about a beatdown in Toronto that the Orioles delivered to the Blue Jays 12-2.
Nothing controversial about BBT.
Controversial about BBT.
Next.
The pitching. We've talked ad nauseum about our concerns with that, but the lineup, there's plenty of upside there. Could they be even better than last year? We'll get into it next on The Fan.